Good evening, everyone. Welcome to our virtually scheduled January 9th, 2020 meeting of the Troutman Town Council. I appreciate you all being here. We could be somewhere in Quincy, Massachusetts, where it's about 19 degrees. Glad I got back. It's a pleasure for me to welcome everybody here. I'd like to ask Pastor Leslie Morris from Old Walk Baptist Church to give us our invocation.
Mayor, I don't ever know which uniform to wear, so I just wear one. let's pray. Father, we bow our heads once again. We thank you for the opportunity that we have to call upon your name. We thank you. We don't ever want to bow our heads without giving you praise for your many blessings on our life. I know many folks are going through hard times and difficult times in their life, but Lord, we can look around and also count the many blessings that we have each and every one of us. We do pray for those that are maybe someone in this room is going through a hard time that we don't even know about. We do pray for those situations and those folks, Lord, we do pray for our town. We pray for our leaders. We pray for all those that are part of the staff here in town. We pray that you bless them. We do thank you, Lord, on our behalf, the fire department, for safety that you always give us. Lord, we pray for that for us. We pray for that for the police department. Lord, we pray that you'd always put a hedge of protection around them as they're out doing their job. Lord, we pray for our nation. Lord, we pray for the situation that's going on there and our leaders and those who will be making decisions there. Pray for the meeting tonight. Again, we pray for wisdom and knowledge and pray that you'd bless and grant it. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Please stand as we recite our prayers.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Pastor Morris. At this time, Council, we've got the agenda. I will ask if there are any adjustments to tonight's agenda. If not, I will ask for a motion to approve the agenda as presented. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made, received a second. No discussion, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? There are none. Motion passes. The next item on the agenda is our consent agenda, which includes items considered to be routine by the council. They will be approved by one motion. There will be no separate discussion on those items unless requested by council. I believe there are three sets of minutes and a budget amendment request. Council, I'll ask if there is a motion to approve the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion is made. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made. Receives a second. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any against? Hearing none, motion passes. Next item on the agenda are standing reports. First item is our ABC store quarterly report. Mr. Jackson, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. Your Honor, good evening, and distinguished council members, town staff, press, and citizens. And on behalf of the ABC board and our general manager, Evelyn Walls, we bring great glad tidings to y'all, and we hope for the new year to be our best ever as a town and as a board and citizens. We continue to enjoy a reasonable rate of growth with the store. It's not yet plateaued. We had a little bit of a leveling off in September, but that if we'd had the sales from the year before that was due to Hurricane Florence, we had a couple of really big days based on people, I guess, wanting to make sure that they, if we lost power or whatever, that we didn't, they didn't get go without. But nonetheless, this December was our best month ever since we've been in business. We right now are $80,000 ahead of last year, $80,400 ahead of last year at this time. We'll surpass the $1 million in sales, net sales, minus sales tax. So we, within about another 5 business days. So last year we went over the mark in February, about mid-February, so we're about a month ahead of that. So right now we're tracking to do about 1.8 million for the year. We budgeted 1.63 million. So if things continue to head down the track that they're going right now, we should see 1.8. I think that the number will be bigger, and it could be based on things we don't yet know. But in December, we did $208,302, which was the first time we moved by the 200,000 mark in a single month. Last year, we did $197,171 in December. But again, that, if you compare apples to apples, last December, we had a snow day on December the 8th, so we had 2 really big days of sales leading up to that were out of normal, out of kilter with what normal sales would be. So there was about $11,000 last year in sales that we didn't see this year because we didn't have a snow day. So if you back that $11,000 out, we would have done about 20 to 25,000 more than we did last year in December. Nonetheless, we still were about 18,000 more than what we did last year. The net sales for the second quarter was $511,110. Our operating expenses averaged $23,600. That's about a 1% decrease over last December, or last year's second quarter. So we're holding our operating expenses at a level place, and don't see that really being impacted going forward in a negative way. We're staffed at the level that we need to be at. I don't see this coming year that there will be any additional need for staffing. I mean, there may be everybody except for the general manager is part-time. So if we added another position, that person would actually just be working and somebody would be working fewer hours. So it's not, there wouldn't be a need for an additional FTE, if you will. Our second quarter net profits before distributions were $45,500. After our distributions that we will be talking about here in just a minute, the net profits $18,451. Our current retained working capital is $361,432. That's based on our the audit this past July. The number went up as far as the maximum allowed is $421,495. That doesn't really have an impact on us doing distributions to the town. We are, as we committed back last year, that the distributions would continue, and so there's not an impact there. The distributions for this quarter, based on the calculations, that there will be a distribution of $14,760. The town will receive $7,380. Parks and Rec will get $1,845. The ESC Park Fund, the town on top of the ESC Park Funds, will get another $1,845. The Troutman Friends of the Library will get $1,845. And then the four schools in town will each get $461.25. We also have a mandatory distribution to the police department. They'll be getting $1,537.76. And Drug Alcohol Coalition of Iredell County, we call DASI, will receive $2,152.76. And that totals for a total of $18,450 for the second quarter in distributions. Based on the growth that we are experiencing, it has also brought with it some needs for additional space based on the fact that we're having to carry more inventory to be able to meet the demands that we are having, and plus we're wanting to take advantage of discounts when they are offered by the distributor via the ABC Commission. That's one of the few ways that we have where we can actually capture some additional profit based on the fact that we don't have any voice in how the pricing for the product is assigned. That's done at the ABC Commission. But if a distributor puts a product on sale for a month or even a quarter, then if we buy a product that we sell a lot of and we buy a large bundle of that, then when it goes off of discount, then the price goes back to its normal price. We still have that amount of surplus in the warehouse that we can sell, that we've got the spread between the cost and the retail. So that's one of the reasons that we are going to need additional space. We've got the forklift that we now we bought this past year that has to be kept inside. And we're currently running about $170,000 to $175,000 in inventory when we get a delivery. I mean, that, and of course, it starts rocking back down during the two-week period. But we only get a truck every 2 weeks, so we've amped up. I think last year when we were here in the second quarter, we were doing about $155,000 in inventory. But going into Thanksgiving and Christmas, we knew we had to have a bunch, and we run through it pretty quick. But with that being said, we are in the preliminary stages of looking at expanding the warehouse in the back. That was put in the plans when we originally had the building designed to be able to have that capability. And so to do that, we're going to do it once rather than piecemeal over time. This would also give us the capability of having a centralized storage area should the opportunity present itself down the road as our sales increase to look at a second location. We would use this as a centralized storage point for that second store, so that we don't have to have a larger footprint than we need. And I mean, there would be a little bit of storage in that second site, but the majority of it would be here at store one. So with that being said, we have given the drawings to the town planner to review and to send it through the appropriate review bodies here in the town. And then we will sit down as a board and talk about what, when, and if to do this. And we will brief the town once we have come to that conclusion. Obviously we need the town's approval to do it, but at the same time, it's one of those good things that, and we would, we have the cash in reserve to be able to pay for that expansion, so it wouldn't be a situation where we've got to take on additional debt. So part of that $361,000 that we have in working capital, we have about $260,000 right now in savings. And we don't know yet what the, we'll have to do an informal bid to have the project done, so it, at this point, don't really know. I would expect it would come in somewhere around $175,000 to $230,000. And I think that's everything. I'd be glad to take, answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you. Council, any questions for Mr. Getchener?
What square footage are you looking at when you increase your space back there? What are you looking at, 6,000, 10,000, you know, what square footage?
It'll be a 40, the building's 40 feet wide, and we'll go back, I believe it's 42 feet. That gives us whatever the setback is that's required to the, from the curb. We will say be around 1,600, a little over 1,600 square feet. And the question has come up as to whether we would put a bay in to be able to back the truck in to offload rather than using the forklift. In talking with some of the builders, that, and again, we knew from when we built the store originally, it's going to add about, it would add about an $80,000 additional cost to that project. We get two trucks a month. It takes about 30 minutes right now. It'll be even less time, being that we have for less travel time between the truck and the warehouse to offload the forklift. So, I mean, literally, we use a forklift an hour a month, and I can't see $80,000 for a delivery that you get twice a month. It just,
payback would be quite lengthy.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think any of us would live to see that payback. Well, I hope we do, but it would, I don't think it's a good use of our money.
Comment?
Yes, sir.
Mr. Hinkle, Mr. Now, myself attended a Essentials of Municipal Government seminar today put on by the School of Government. There was 50, 60 elected officials there, plus quite a few staff from smaller towns around North Carolina. And one of the conversations today was they're looking, those small towns without any C stores are looking at the model that Troutman has used to create such a successful enterprise. So thank you for your leadership, and thank you for your staff and others that have been involved with the ABC store to make it as successful as it has been.
Well, thank you.
And will continue to be.
Your reputation precedes and proceeds.
Yeah, they were talking about it.
Well,
it's very complimentary.
It's kind of nice to know that somebody has something nice to say for a change. But thank you for sharing that. Obviously, the all this rests on the shoulders of the general manager and employees there at the store, and they've all really done a gangbuster job. I mean, it's a lot of fun because, you know, working with a group like that, it, you know, what we do is, you know, it's hard to call it work.
Other questions? I hope you didn't give away the secret sauce. I think anybody can put up brick and mortar. But as Mr. Getchener said, it takes a team of folks to actually make it work, and you guys have done a great job. So I pop in there every now and then, and staff is still very complimentary and focused on service. So thank you for what you do, and really appreciate the update. So thanks again.
Well, thank you. Appreciate it. I would be remiss not to say that the board obviously was very, very integral in the original construction of the store, and the mayor at the time, I mean, we just, there was a, it took all of us making sure that we stayed on task and on budget, and it, it wouldn't have been fun for anybody that had to do that job working with the group that I was working with. I was on a nice guy.
I can't remember. Who was the mayor at that time? Is he still alive? Mayor at that time, is he still alive?
I don't think
so. Oh, that might be. I'm sorry. I forgot who was there. He is. He's still alive.
Thank you.
But thank you. Appreciate it.
The next item on our agenda is a report from our Charlotte Fire Department. Mr. Morris, this uniform does work.
Mayor, Council, thank you. I trust that each one of you had a Merry Christmas, and I hope you've had a Happy New Year as we get started in 2020. Give you a few things that are going on around the fire department. Of course, we have tallied up our calls, and we have once again ran answered over 2,000 calls from the Trappan Fire Department. As a matter of fact, it's right around 2,100 calls was the total that we ran last year. I'm proud of this for our guys. I'll make this mention. We had total man hours, and of course this is our full-time, part-time, and volunteer staff, 6,279 total man hours for training last year. And so we had two volunteers that obtained their Firefighter 1 and 2 certifications, and that is a great accomplishment because of course, being a volunteer, they both of these have full-time jobs, and one of them has a family, and still going each night, a lot of times, two and three times a night to get that certification. Two of our volunteers also completed their medical responder and got that certification as well. So we're very proud of what they have done this year. Trap and Rescue Squad, or Fire and Rescue, rather. We did obtain our state certification with swift water and surface water rescue. So we did get that by the state of North Carolina this past year. I will give you our building report, and then I will tell you just a few of our goals for 2020, and then, of course, answer any questions that you may have for the fire department. The building report, I know everybody's excited to see where it is, and no more excited than I am, because it has been a challenge this year living between Station 1 and Station 2, where our office is currently at now. That's where myself and Deputy Chief Kessler's office is out of Station 2, and all the things we've got in closets that we have to dig through to find now that we need them. So we're excited about getting back into Station 1. Hopefully it'll come sooner than later. But the electrician and plumber have started their work on the first floor, started pulling some wire and running some pipes. The sprinkler contractor has started some work this past week. Of course, we're waiting on the roof completion to get done so that we can get it totally dried in, and then the HVAC and framing upstairs, as well as the other contractors, are going to begin their work. So they're basically on standby waiting for the roof to get complete. I know they've been waiting on some material that's been delivered just in time for the next 2 weeks of rain. So I'm excited about that. But anyway, it's coming along, and I think when it all gets in done, it's going to be a fire station that the citizens we are going to be proud of. We thank you will, as well as the citizens of Troutman as well. It seems like it's getting bigger and bigger. The more they're doing to it. So, but that's kind of the building report. Some goals that we have for 2020, and we're still in those that process, sitting down, talking about things we want to accomplish this coming year. One of the things that we have got scheduled for February, and I said when I became chief that I wanted to get to obtain or try to obtain every year at least a specialty rescue certification through the state. Is like last year, we got our surface water and swift water. This year, in the month of February, we're planning on sending our guys to a trench class. And so hopefully after we get that completed, first 3 weeks of February, we'll be going with Statesville Fire Department to get our trench certification, and so hopefully shortly after that. And that entails getting some people certified to do the work, as well as having equipment to do that. The state comes in and inspects all that and says if we've got what it takes, then enough technicians, trench certified technicians, as well as the equipment, and we feel like we're going to be able to do that this year. So we're excited about that. Another thing that we're planning on doing this coming year is we're going to replace a squad vehicle, the squad that we use to run medical calls, the white SUV that you see. We're going to replace that. The board of directors have set aside funding for that in the budget this year, so we're going to replace that before the new budget year. We, in our long-range planning, we are up to replace air packs, and we are in the process of talking with the county now of setting a plan. Of course, air packs outdate, and so we've been getting some quotes and looking at some different air packs, but we're going to have to replace over a span of time every one of the air packs that we got now, because they just outdate, and the cylinders that go with those. This year, we're in preliminary talks with the county of replacing one of our tankers, Tanker 3. It became 20 years old last year. It's a 1999 model, so it's starting to give us some problems and some things that we're having to fix, so we're going to hopefully maybe get to replace it in soon coming. So that's one of the things we're going to try to do this year as well. And of course, we're still seeking to put on more full-time staffing, and we'll continue to do that. Hopefully, our goal, and I can't say that's going to happen this year, of course that's going to come with funding, but our goal is to put some full-time staff at Station 2 and 3 as soon as we can, so we'll have that kind of response into those areas as well. So that is a continued goal, and of course for 2020 we will continue to provide the best service that we can for the citizens and traveling and the So we're excited about it, and we do want to say from the fire department and myself, we appreciate the support from the mayor and the council, and of course the staff here in Troutman, and I'm just excited about the relationship that we have working together and looking forward to this year. Got any questions about the fire department? I'd be glad to try to answer. Thank you.
I do have a question.
Okay.
On the new building, is it a dormer going to go in the front? Is that the reason why they haven't closed in the front of it?
I'm not really sure. They run out of materials, so the answer to that. If there's not a dormer, there will be somewhat of a front porch coming off the front. But obviously, that's not what's holding that up, because the rear of the building is the same way on the back side, if you haven't looked at it. That those two ends, and from my understanding, they run out of material before the holidays, and that's just been delivered. So it's not a dormer, that roof will just meet the other, like it is, kind of what you see it coming up.
Again, this is rough. I'm just asking you a rough idea.
Okay.
When your building is going to be ready to be occupied?
they're still planning on, the thought is March, April, and of course that's again getting this roof on so that we, if they get the roof on, we can continue work. They've started doing some brick on the outside, even they were there working on that today, hopefully to do that so they can do some backfilling, get some gravel in there to take care of some of the mud, but they're still looking spring, early summer. That's the latest that I've got. And hopefully that's the case.
And 2,000 calls.
Yes.
That's the quarterly number.
But that's the whole year last year.
Yes.
That's correct.
Busy.
Yes. Yes, sir.
Are there questions or comments? Chief, how much square foot is the new facility?
It's going to be right at 12,000 or 15,000.
15.
Yes, sir. Of course, I think I explained kind of the layout of it. If I haven't, then downstairs will be the administrative. That's still going to be how it's laid out, and the training room facility will be downstairs, and then upstairs is going to be the living quarters for the full-time guys.
Okay.
If I think I've said that, but if I hadn't, that's kind of how it is. And you're welcome anytime on a pretty day if you'd like to stop by. And you can somewhat downstairs start seeing how it's laid out because they've got the rooms framed downstairs. So you can kind of get a visual of what it's going to look like downstairs. Like I said, they're waiting on the roof to get done. And as soon as they get that done, they're going to go ahead and frame the upstairs so they can begin doing some of the wiring and stuff like that. So we're there. If you want to stop by and look at it, you're welcome to.
Is there an elevator in it?
Yes, ma'am. Okay. There is going to be an elevator in it. And
I thought when I saw them blocking it up that frame.
We ended up, we were trying at the beginning of this when we started trying to get plans. We were hoping that we could get away from putting an elevator in it. Later we would come back and start, we were going to have to put an elevator in it just for accessibility. Handicap accessibility to the upstairs. We were originally going to offer everything, all the amenities downstairs, that would be upstairs to handle that, but we ended up having to do that, so there is going to be an elevator. And as soon as again the roof gets in, they're going to put that as compensation on. So, but that'll be right in the foyer as soon as you walk in, the elevator accessibility right there.
And brass poles are disparate.
Everybody wanted one, even I wanted one. But this is the reason one is our insurance company doesn't like those because people sliding down and hurting themselves, hitting the ground. And two is I need them guys to be on the truck when they're supposed to instead of being at home recovering from knee injury. So all the kids wanted one, I wanted one, and that's where the fire station is supposed to be. But those days, I guess, are gone.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is comments from visitors and guests. You are invited to address the council with general comments and concerns. Your comments are to be limited to 3 minutes per individual. You must sign in at the podium. And please adhere to Town Policy 51 and present your comments to council. Any comments? Okay. At this, we'll move on to the new business. First item is consideration of board appointments to Town Planning and Zoning Board. Overall appointments, I'll turn it over to Ms. Davis.
We have Design Review Board. That board did not have a meeting all year last year, so we had two members whose terms expired during the year last year. That is Mark McGale and Bob Babinski. In the meantime, also in December, Richard Jablonski resigned due to health reasons. So we have several positions on the board. Mark and Rob both has filled out a reappointment form, asking to be reappointed. Rob was an alternate on that committee, but with Richard's resignation, we can put him in that full-time position if you'd like. So that's the two we have there. And then Board of Adjustment, Jan Huffman has filled out an application. Board of Adjustment has not met in a while, and as you know, they're on a as needed basis meeting. So they do have a meeting coming up this month, but we would like to go ahead and get Jan on that board if you would do that appointment without a nomination. If not, then we can take it to Board of Adjustment, but we need members on that board also.
Is there an alternate that also has to be?
Jan would be filling an inside alternate position, and then there's another alternate position available and a vacant ETJ position available on that board.
Okay, Council, we've heard from
staff, I'll ask to take these one at a time. First of all, is there a motion to approve Mr. Bobinski and Mr. Michael?
Miguel.
To design the board. Is there such a motion?
I'll make that motion.
Motion is made. Is there a second?
I'll second it, Mr. Mayor. And I do have a question now. Both of these will be for full time?
Yes. Yes.
I mean, full voting.
Yes.
Motion's on the floor. Receive the second. Any other question or comment? Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposition? Hearing none, motion passes. Next item is the Board of Adjustment position, which would be filling a alternate position with Ms. Jan Huffman. And this would be coming to the board without recommendation because they haven't met. So is there a motion to fill that position?
Mr. Mayor, can I ask Kim a question before
sure.
we proceed? Are there enough right now, if there should be a meeting of the Board of Adjustment, to conduct a meeting?
Yes, if everybody shows up. But
okay.
we have no alternates.
Okay.
That's our problem. There's no alternates on that board.
I'll explain my reason for asking that, and my reason explained that I would like, I have no problem with Ms. Huffman being on the Board of Adjustment, but I would like to hold that appointment until after the, whenever the special use permit comes up. With the property that the text amendment in question that we discussed on Monday, simply because when that text amendment was passed in November, Ms. Huffman was on the council, so she was part of passing that, and I just feel like, you know, to be on the Board of Adjustment because we had asked Mr. Harris, where he was asked to resign from planning and zoning before the business of the Murdoch property on Perry Road came up because he was going to be on council to vote for that.
Okay.
It does, actually.
So is, will the council at this point, you want to make that motion or?
I will.
There's a motion to hold this Board of Adjustment appointment until, I assume until next month. Will have met by next month?
The Board of Adjustment will meet at the end of this month.
Okay.
But the potential case that Ms. Williams is talking about, we don't have any application for that case at this point, so we have no way of knowing when that case might actually go forward, or if it in fact will go forward. So there's, we don't have anything that even gives us an inkling of when that particular applicant might come before the Board of Adjustment.
And I assume we also
and she would be an alternate, and the alternate does not vote unless there's not a quorum.
Right. And so I still assume that we will have enough.
If everybody shows.
So, Council, there's a motion on the floor to hold. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is made. Receive the second to hold that appointment until next month. Receive the second. Any other question or comment?
By next month, if we don't have somebody to fill position, because I do worry that, these folks come before, whether it's, you know, the situation out there on Murdoch Road or another situation requiring the BOA recommendation, or not a recommendation, but the ruling, that they don't have a quorum. So You know, if we do, I would hope that by next month, if we don't have any more applications, that we proceed with Ms. Upman to prevent the possibility of having to delay applications requiring board adjustment rules. Yeah, I'll go along with it, as I say, but I would say by next month, I think we need to make a decision to move or reject one or the other.
Also, I would ask, assume staff is promoting both all these positions, alternates as well.
As many ways as we possibly can, and we appreciate the council and mayor's promotion of the vacancies as well. So as much as you can, when you are talking to your fellow citizens, we definitely would like to have as many full boards and appointments as we possibly can.
But as I say, we've got to make sure that when these people come before P&Z and Board of Adjustment, that there's a quorum there, that they don't come here thinking and there's not enough to show up. So I understand what Sally's saying. I'm not playing that down whatsoever. I'm just saying that we need to assure that we get these positions filled as quickly as possible so that when these meetings take place, we're reasonably assured that there's a quorum there to rule.
Okay. Motion's on the floor. Receive the second.
Second.
I'll call the question. Yeah. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
In opposition?
No.
One abstention or one opposition. Motion passes. So, again, just keep in mind we don't have a whole lot of folks who are out. Hopefully, we'll get all the boards filled. So we definitely need it. Next item on the agenda is comments from Councilman myself, and I'll open it up to council members first. I'll start to my left.
To your right, that's your right.
Actually, it is. It's my right. Their left. Their left, my right.
I'll just west and left, but I'll just remind the council that we have a meeting going on Saturday night that we can't make it. Everybody be at that meeting, it should be meeting with benefits. George, look at me, kind of like, you know what I'm talking about.
I don't think I can meet it. But don't forget, January the 21st is a meeting about the Owl County fire tax.
Right. But now, Saturday night is the dinner.
Yeah.
Is that not Saturday night?
The fire department.
Oh, the fire department.
Fire department, yes.
Yes,
yes.
The kind of
don't scare me like that. I don't think it'll leave my mind. Yeah. Anyhow, I just want to remind folks what they're able.
Yes, sir. I'd like to make a motion that this council go into a closed session.
Wait a minute.
We're not at that point.
Yes, just one thing. Today is National Law Enforcement Recognition Day, and I would just like to recognize the great job that our Troutman Police Department does for the citizens of Troutman. It's not unnoticed how terrific of a police department we have here in Austin. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
And I'll just second what Eddie said to the police department. I think we've got a great thing on the police department.
Thank you. The good thing about coming last is that usually my comments are already taken, but it's all good. I would absolutely agree with the council's comments. Great police department. We appreciate the work that they do every day. So please send the team our appreciation. Also, I do want to announce, I mentioned this to some of the staff, Barry Smith, who is the manager at the Food Lion, yesterday I had an opportunity to be at his store as he was selected as Lake Norman Region's store manager, excellent award winner at the Food Lion. He and his team have been very supportive of the Troutman community. Barry and his Food Lion family have supported staff and council with refreshments, product at Spring to Spring, National Night Outs, Trail and Treats, and numerous other events. They epitomize the values of Food Lion, and he and his team are to be committed. So if you're in the store, congratulate him and his team, and I always give him a hard time. It's probably one of the toughest stores in the area. I get feedback from citizens, and I'm always passing it on, so, but they do a good job, and we appreciate the work he does, and they've really done some good work to keep that store in really good shape, and it's being reflected in their sales, and he's to be committed for that. In addition, we won't be back before January 20th, which is MLK Day of Service. I'd like to really ask that folks think about that day. It's not a day off, it's a day on. And it's intended to empower individuals, strengthen communities, bridge barriers, create solutions to social problems, and move us closer to Dr. King's vision of a beloved community. I would encourage everyone to do something during that day or during this month to improve our community. And if you need ideas, I'm sure our staff can help find ways that you can help serve our Troutman community. So think about that day of service, and we appreciate anything you can do to help us improve our community. I would also like to say that we've got one of our commissioners in the room. Appreciate you being here.
Appreciate y'all.
I'll open it up if you want any comments.
Just want to say hello, happy new year. Appreciate all you do. Appreciate your cooperation.
Right.
Look forward to working with you.
Great. Our registrar of deeds is usually here, so I don't know if you've got any comments.
Happy new year. That's it.
Yeah. I assume our population grew last year.
We did. Register of Deeds office had an outstanding year. Iredell County still remains to be one of the top five growing counties in the state, based off of our deeds, as Tanya and a couple other realtors can tell you. If you're in the real estate business or mortgage business, Iredell County is definitely a place to be. As you all know from some of the residential neighborhoods that keep coming before staff and you all, it's kind of amazing that there's an invisible line. Please don't put me in the press, Debbie. But if it's Troutman South, it's happening. And for whatever reason, it's not happening north of here. So that goes to pat on the backs for what the city of Troutman and the town of Morrisville both are doing to encourage these type developments that in turn are helping their community to grow economically. And thank you all very much for that. Those decisions are never easy, and you don't make a lot of people happy when you have to make them. But as the old saying is, if you're not growing, you're dying. And we don't have to look too far left and right to see which one's doing what.
Thank you.
Please don't put that in paper.
So with that, I'll turn it over to our interim town manager, please.
Thank you, Mayor. Since our agenda briefing, we had two follow-ups that you all asked us to kind of pursue. One was the UDO text amendment situation, if we just made some contact. And with that, I'm going to let George bring us up to date on that.
I had a brief series of communications with the engineer that is working on behalf of the proposed applicant for the property that is immediately adjacent to the fairgrounds. As you know, the text amendment was approved, or text amendments were approved in November for that. But the as I mentioned earlier, the project that spurred that application for the text amendment has not been brought before the town staff yet for review. However, the communication that I had with the engineer led me to believe that, and we knew this to be the case in general, that there has been work that's been done on a professional basis, not only preliminary site plans for conceptual review, but also the survey work for the project, I assume, is ongoing and almost complete, although I don't know what the percentage of completion is yet, or may not know for a while. I asked the question as to whether or not the property had been closed on yet. I did not get an answer to that. I really didn't expect one from the engineering staff. That's where it sits as far as the staff-to-staff communication, and essentially that's all I'm aware of at this point. They've been working on the project, though, or at least the engineering staff has been in communications with us on the project since, I believe it was early August. So I'm assuming that there might have been due diligence work prior to that, but I just don't know what the extent of it was, and I certainly don't know the economic impact of that.
With all due respect, I checked my office this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It is not closed up.
Well, if I may ask a question then, with Gary present, and I don't know if this is something proper to discuss in open meeting or if we need to talk about a closed session, but does it rise to the level of a vested interest in that property by the prospective buyer? To where we're facing a liability if we change something, or
I think you're asking me a legal opinion that I would suggest would be in closed session.
Okay. All right. Closed session.
Moving on. You also asked for an update from the police chief on a camera system. And with that, Chief.
Just kind of texting a little bit about what we talked about on Monday. Just want to kind of give a kind of quick rundown of what the camera system would do for us. It actually has a search criteria that would include tag, make, model, color, and style, which is unique to any other camera system that we have checked around in these neighboring cities. Their cameras typically can only recognize or have a search criteria based off of tag. So this gives us a larger way of locating particular individuals. It will store the information for 30 days. It had access to NCIC, which is the National Criminal Investigation, Information Center. And with having that capability, it will be able to recognize stolen vehicles, felony vehicles, anything that's entered in NCIC, it will be able to recognize and pick up and give us that information. Which is unique to some of the systems that we have checked with also. This would be really good, not only with stolen vehicles, but if you have a missing person or an abducted child, and if there's a car that's associated with a situation like that, it can recognize that if it's entered into NCIC. It will notify us within 6 to 12 seconds, and it will notify us in a way that we deem how we want to be notified, whether it be through a text message to the officer's phone, to the mobile data terminal within their cars, like an email or something of that nature, or maybe a phone call to communications to dispatches. Officers can log in and will be able to watch live streams from their MDTs. And if they get an alert, it would be an immediate notification to the officers if they're watching live stream. If they're not watching live stream, it's the 6 to 12 seconds. Most of our crimes, like larcenies, B&Es, stolen vehicles, etc., originate from the Charlotte area, so we're really concerned with that area around exit 42. I have not forgotten anything. with it being connected to NCIC, you can also recognize whether it's a non-resident or a resident of our community, which I thought was a unique characteristic of it. And if you like, I can get into, you know, they're going to give us two cameras for a trial run. No obligation. You know, if we don't like it, we turn it back to them and say, thank you for your presentation, but we're not interested. After the setup and the training on it, we will have access to it for 60 days. And then after that, then we make a determination if it's something that we want to pursue. And of course, at that time, I would ask that do a presentation to the board if we're going to pursue it.
So this is something that, as you say, if you're looking for a certain tag, the officer can literally be riding down the street or through a parking lot, you know, checking tags with it, and up to 12 seconds find out if a tag you're looking for is within the area. In other words, on the highway or in the parking lot, wherever you have it turned on and searching the tag.
Let me explain just a little bit. The cameras will be at particular locations, and they're motion activated. So as a car goes by, it comes on and it will take a picture of the tag. So if I'm
so these readers are not in the car then. They're
no, these are car. These are on the streets.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They're we'll have them posted in strategic places. So say Lowe's has a larceny, and they give us the description of it's a red Toyota 4Runner. They don't give us a tag, but we can search the system for red Toyota 4Runners in that area, and it will show us every red Toyota 4Runner that has come by that camera. So that helps us, and then we can get a tag at that point, which will give us a lead as to what direction to be searching for the suspect.
They do have those available, do they not? My understanding was that, as I mentioned in the agenda briefing, that Charlotte had something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was mobile inside the patrol car. And mm-hmm.
Well, now we have mobile data terminals.
No, this was a reader, you know, that
a license plate reader.
As a use example, a patrolman down there riding through a parking deck, you know, just checking out tags. And if he came across a tag that was, mm-hmm. I guess, in the NCI data or some other. That it would alert him or her,
mm-hmm.
and then they could investigate further.
Well, with an MDT having access to DCI and NCIC within our cars, we can do that now. You know, I can drive through a parking lot, even through CJ Leeds, I can sit there and run tags to find if I'm looking for something in particular. This is more for vehicles that are on the move, that are coming in and out of our city, that could be a suspect or a missing person or something of that nature, to help us, give us a lead as to what direction we can say, yes, they were in our neighborhood or in our city at this time, they came through this intersection at this time, going in this direction, and got a clear shot of the tag. So with the tag, you can get the owner of the vehicle, an address. So it gives us more information to hunt down that suspect.
Chief, are these units, it sounds very interesting, exciting. It sounds like it would be a great tool. Are there similar cameras in place in communities close by today?
Yes, Cornelius, and I have to brag on Cornelius, they have an elaborate camera system. And I spoke with their IT guy down there, and right now they have 89 cameras that are just video cameras. They're not license plate readers. They only have about 9 license plate readers. One is they're just trying it out, and they're looking to add on more, and they rave about their system. And not getting into the great details about theirs, the differences between theirs and the product that we're looking at is they can only get a hit by tag only. So they can't put in that red Toyota 4Runner and narrow it down. They can only put in a tag. So their system is a little different than what we're looking at. And unless the tag is stolen whenever the vehicles come by that camera, you're not going to get an immediate response. So going back to the example of like an abducted child, and if there's a car that's entered NCIC that's associated with the child disappearance, it's not going to give the officer an alert. So this system actually gives us more information than the system they have, and they rave about their, they're going to add, I think, 2 more license plate readers to their system, and I think 8 to 10 of the video cameras that they're going to add to their system.
It sounds like you had an in-depth conversation with them. Are there a couple of success stories you could share with us resulting from having that equipment in place?
Well, as far as the license plate reader, no. I was asking more detail about cost, setup, you know, those kind of things. The first thing they did say about their actual camera system, not the license plate readers, was how beneficial they were in crashes. Because when you get out to a vehicle crash, you got one person saying, you know, my light was green, and their light was red, and the other guy saying the exact same thing. You go back and look at the video, you know, figure out whose light was red and whose light was green. So they were bragging on the system for that. They did say that it has helped in with larcenies as far as suspect vehicles. Whenever they leave an area, they can say, yes, that's the suspect vehicle. It went, you know, what direction they went in, kind of help them out. I know we had the incident up in the north end of the county where we had the unfortunate homicide. The suspect supposedly had some relatives in the Cornelius area, so the first thing they did was contact Cornelius, and they checked all their camera systems to see if he had come in that area, because that would help lead them to the suspect. He had not, so that helped eliminate them spending time in an area that was not going to be fruitful for them.
Thank you.
Would these be mounted on the ground or up on a pole?
They're on a pole.
About how high up would it? 10, 20, 15? How rough?
You know, I didn't, I'm sure she told me, and I did not write that down, but I was looking at the ones, the pictures I saw, the one that I remember off the top of my head was the one in a neighborhood that a neighborhood had purchased, and it was only like maybe 6-7 feet off the ground. I mean, it wasn't extremely,
a power pole or
And we can post or mount them on power poles depending on who the pole belongs to, if we have permission, but if not, if there's not a pole available, then it would just be a black kind of decorative pole. It's not going to be, you know, just a 2x4 sitting out there. It'll kind of blend in with it.
After the initial trial run, if we're pleased with the progress of the cameras, what is the cost?
The cost is $2,000 per camera per year. It's a subscription to the service. And with this, $2,000, that would include the install, which is you know, the cameras, the poles, maintenance, an account manager, 72 hours repair time, the solar panel for the camera, mobile alerts, and the backup portion of the camera, I guess you call it the server, the brains of it. This cost would be renewed yearly, and we could do a 1-year contract, or we can do up to a 5-year contract. They are solar powered. The power will last 6 to 7 days, and that's, well, let me rephrase that. If there's no sun, it can last up to 6 to 7 days. Let's see, it's motion activated. The solar panels need a minimum of 2 hours to charge. Adverse weather typically not an issue, except for the panels, like a snow lays on top of the panel. You know, and that was just something we'd have to make sure that we're conscious about. And if we have a heavy snow, we need to go out there and make sure that we're knocking the snow off so that the panels can get the power from the sun. If neighborhood, and they actually have an offer for neighborhoods, and we can actually, with permission of the neighborhoods, we'd be able to tap into their system also, and that would be up to the homeowners association as to whether they want to give us access to it, but we could tap into that. So if they have a situation like with these car break-ins, we could see what cars are coming in and out, and with the fact, now the neighborhoods will not be associated with NCIC, but if we have access to it, then we'd be able to run the tags and see, well, you know, they're not a resident, they're a resident of Charlotte, they really had no business in that neighborhood, you know, they have no relatives or, you know, so that gives us a suspect for the break-ins.
Questions?
May I have one more thing? I'm sorry. I'm just excited about this. If we do the 5-year contract, halfway through the contract, the equipment is updated. and let's see, if we go with them, it would be a 6 to 8 weeks for installation from the time that we sign the contract. Just want to make sure that y'all are all aware of that. I hope I haven't left anything out. So if you think of anything else, feel free to ask me. And if I don't know the answer, I'll be sure to find the answer for you.
Okay. Next. Two more items real quickly on that, since we're talking about the police department here. The chief has notified me that on January the 27th, we have North Carolina Risk Management coming in and doing a risk review management study of the police department. So that's per your information. And lastly, that I have to report is I was hoping, as we reported the last agenda briefing, that we would have had the advertisement back for the management to get out by the end of this week. Well, we seem to have a little bit of a hiccup in regards to the discussion, the service area. Exactly what is our service area and what's the population in that? I believe the board has asked that we include that into the advertisement. George is helpful, and I think the COG is working on it now with their planning staff, is what is really considered the service area for Troutman. So hopefully that can be done in the next day or two, and we can get that, like I said before. As soon as I get that, I will send it out in an email to you all. And, Mayor, that's all I have, unless there's any other questions.
Okay, on the risk assessment, is that something you can share with council when it's complete?
When it's complete?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions for Ms. Freeman?
All right.
With that, I'll...
Time? All right, I apologize for jumping in. So, I'd like to make a motion of going to closed session pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 143-318.1183 to consult with our attorney.
Motion's on the floor to go to closed session. Is there a second?
I believe just the attorney and ourselves to talk.
Okay. All right.
On that.
Good.
Yeah.
George,
do you want me to stay?
Either way, if you'd like me there, I can stay.
We'll include George, and I could have relayed what he has, but just in case I missed something.
You want me to stay? Okay.
You don't need to stay.
Okay.
We can take the notes.
With that, I'll call for the vote. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
In opposition? Hearing none, we'll go to